Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning or whatever time you're listening to the podcast. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us talk about some off-season baseball news. That's right, the regular season is over, the postseason is over, and now we are into the 2020-21 Major League Baseball offseason. There should be a lot of news going down here in the coming days or weeks. Hopefully it won't be one of those offseasons that takes a really long time to get going. Hopefully we'll get a lot of news rolling here in the coming weeks. Should be a very strange offseason, just like the regular season was a very strange one. No one knows what this offseason is going to hold, especially with the uncertainty around Major League Baseball right now. No one really knowing how much revenue the teams are going to bring in next year, if fans are going to be allowed back in the stands. No one really knows what the teams are going to be able to pay players in free agency this offseason. But we're going to try to do our best to break it down and bring it to you. And joining me on the podcast, as usual, is my co-host Trey Lyle. Trey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, you know, just enjoying my commutes to Lynchburg as I'm currently relocating up to there. But glad to hear your voice again and excited to talk, wrap up the most interesting season, I should say, in baseball, leading into the most interesting offseason where there are way more questions than answers, and probably more questions than we've ever seen, just based off of revenue issues.
Yeah, definitely a lot of questions. Like I mentioned, no one knows if fans are going to be allowed back in the ballparks next year, and that is a big source of revenue. So if fans are not allowed, then we're going to have to deal with this whole how much do the players get paid and that whole issue again. And so it's going to be a very strange offseason. There are a lot of big name free agents that deserve big contracts, but no one knows if they'll be able to get them just due to the uncertainty around Major League Baseball. So it'll be interesting to watch. Hopefully it'll be fun. Hopefully we'll see the players who deserve to get paid and get what they deserve in free agency. But before we get to the offseason moves, free agency trades, and all that kind of stuff, we're going to go over the awards finalists. The Baseball Writers Association of America announced the finalists for its four major awards on Monday night. There were no real surprises with any of the awards finalists. There was one finalist for Manager of the Year that I was a little bit of a yikes moment. Rick Renteria, the former manager of the Chicago White Sox, is named a finalist for American League Manager of the Year. He took the White Sox to their first postseason appearance since 2008, and they, of course, fired him. Not sure how that makes sense, and replaced him with 76-year-old Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa. But the Baseball Writers judged Renteria's season good enough to name him a finalist for Manager of the Year. So he's one of the top three managers in the American League, but he got fired. So,
well, if you want to use other sports precedent, Dwayne Casey, who was head coach of the Raptors, won Coach of the Year and got fired. And they hired Nick Nurse, and the next year the Raptors won it all. So, you know, and Nick Nurse was not looked on as a great hire at the time. So if you're a White Sox fan, you're like, hey, if the Raptors can do it, who knows? Granted, completely different circumstances, but there is some comparables, I would say, to the NBA here with having the manager obviously finish as a finalist. I don't think he's going to win AL Manager of the Year, but it's interesting to see him up there.
No, I would say Kevin Cash, the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, would probably win the award. Of course, he took the Rays to the World Series, and so that's pretty deserving of a Manager of the Year award. Some other notable finalists in the National League, the rookies of the year, Alec Bohm, the third baseman for Philadelphia, Jake Cronenworth, the second baseman for the Padres, and Devin Williams, a pitcher for Milwaukee. A notable omission here, Tony Gonsolin of the Los Angeles Dodgers was left out of the top three. He was recently named Baseball America's Rookie of the Year, and he had a pretty good season. He went 2-2 for the Dodgers with a 2.31 ERA and 46 strikeouts in 46 and a third innings pitch. So I'm not sure how they overlooked him for a finalist for National League Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised by it. I think I believe that the three guys who were the finalists deserve to be there. I think Cronenworth is going to get it. I think he played phenomenally for the Padres this year. And if you're a Padres fan, you look at that middle infield. If Cronenworth gets it done, you got a really, really good infield with obviously adding Hosmer at first, Machado, who's we're going to get to the MVP candidates, and obviously, you know, the best young player in baseball, you could argue, in Fernando Tatis.
Yeah, great infield for the Padres. And I do agree, all of those finalists do deserve to be there, but Gonsolin had a great season as well. And I mean, it's tough when you only have three finalists, but I think he definitely deserved his recognition for the season that he had. When it comes to the Cy Young, there are no real surprises in the finalists there. Shane Bieber, Hyunjin Ryu, and Kenta Maeda all had fantastic seasons in the American League. And then in the National League, Trevor Bauer, Yu Darvish, and Jacob deGrom are the finalists. At the beginning of the season, you and I said that deGrom would win his third straight National League Cy Young Award, but at this point, I think it'll be Bauer that ends up taking home the award.
Yeah, I agree. I think Trevor Bauer gets it done, which, by the way, we talked about the offseason. We're going to get a little bit later. Trevor Bauer is on fire on Twitter about his offseason, and he's going to vlog it. So that should be interesting to give us an insight of what it's going to look like. Shout out to him. And I think the AL Cy Young, I mean, I think if you want to pick, if someone asked me, all right, you only get to choose one person for one award, and that's the lock of the lock, it's Shane Bieber for AL Cy Young. The guy was dominant all year, and I mean, in the argument for the best pitcher of baseball, the way he was playing, obviously postseason didn't go as well for him, but Shane Bieber, I think, is the lock for the AL Cy Young of the year, and I feel the most confident saying he will win that award.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. Great season by Shane Bieber, and I don't know why. I mean, they didn't even need to have two other finalists for that one. They could have just given him the award right now.
Yeah, Kenta Maeda had a great year, and obviously Ryu with first year with Blue Jays. Both were great, but Shane Bieber just, I mean, the pace he was putting up on a 60-game season, I would have loved to see if he kept that up for 162. He probably would have had one of the greatest years a pitcher has had and probably would have been in the MVP race. I mean, he was, but he needed that 162 probably to fully get into it.
And finally, with the MVP finalists in the American League, it's Jose Abreu of the White Sox, Jose Ramirez of the Indians, and DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees. So that should make you pretty happy, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, DJ LeMahieu has been one of the best players in baseball since he's really, I mean, he was underappreciated with the Colorado Rockies, but since he joined the New York Yankees, the guy is the best hitter in baseball, and I don't think you can argue against it. The dude was near 400 all year, and I think if he hit 400, he would have been in that argument for MVP, but I'm not going to ignore Jose Abreu's production on a great team, but DJ LeMahieu deserves some credit. So does Jose Ramirez. He played phenomenally as well. I mean, those three guys definitely are the three best this year in the American League, but I will go with Jose Abreu. I think I agree with you, what you said at the end of the regular season. We talked about it. Abreu probably was going to get the MVP, and I think he deserved what he does deserve it. That's repetitive, but you get my point.
And finally, the National League finalists for MVP, Mookie Betts of the Dodgers, Manny Machado of the Padres, and Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves, and he's got to win the award. I'm biased, of course, because I am a Braves fan, but he's already won two Player of the Year awards this season. He has to win MVP as well.
Yeah, I would argue Freddie Freeman was the best player in baseball this year in terms of just the regular season success. Obviously, the best player in the world is Mike Trout, and you can't argue that. And I would argue Mookie is a better baseball player than Freddie Freeman. But the best player this year was Freddie Freeman, especially down the stretch, the way he was playing. He was phenomenal and led that Atlanta Braves team to a phenomenal season and one win away from going to the World Series. So, and it, you could argue the Braves are the team that gave the Dodgers its most fits in terms of postseason. In fact, they were up 2-0 and up 3-1 and looked like they really had them on the ropes. So Freddie Freeman is locked, I think, for the AL or the NL MVP, I should say. But it wouldn't surprise me if it went another way. But how confident are you that Freeman's going to be the Braves MVP? Or the MVP of the league, I should say, this year.
I'm pretty confident. I feel like it's between him and Betts. Machado obviously had a great season, but I feel like it's really between Freeman and Mookie Betts. And I feel like Freddie Freeman's going to end up getting the edge and getting the votes to win the MVP. One thing I do want to point out, since you mentioned Mike Trout, is this will only be the second time in his career that he does not finish first or second in MVP voting. He was not named a finalist, so the best that he could finish is fourth. Who knows if he'll even finish that high. He had a good season, but I think this just shows that we're all just immune to how great Mike Trout is.
Yeah, it's very similar to his brethren in Los Angeles, LeBron James. There got to a point where LeBron's greatness got kind of underappreciated. The same thing happened with Michael Jordan. It was he's so good that the expectations are just so high that it's really hard for him to win the MVP, especially on Trout's teams where you know they're not going to have great success. So it's kind of that kind of feel of it. I mean, he was the MVP discussion. I mean, that guy went on a run towards the end of the year where if he snuck the Angels into the postseason, he definitely deserves an argument to be the MVP because he's that good of a baseball player. However, yeah, it's just more of he played on a bad team for a majority of the year despite putting up great numbers. And there's – I don't want to say you get tired with greatness, but there's definitely a – lack of appreciation of greatness as it goes on in terms of just like the expectation gets put so high that it becomes an impossible bar to reach even for a guy like Mike Trout.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So he will not finish as a finalist in MVP voting this season. We'll see where he does finish when all the votes are tallied and the awards are announced here in the next few weeks.
But also, you know what's crazy?
What?
Think about this. This is the second time it's happened. He's played the league almost for 10 years. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Last time was in 2017.
Also, to know another thing, look how quickly Randy Arozarena came on, because you could argue who's the best rookie this year in baseball, but he's not an AL Rookie of the Year finalist because he played like he didn't play during the regular season, basically.
Yeah, he played so few games in the regular season that he could be a Rookie of the Year next year.
Look at that. That's just the craziness that this performance by Randy Arozarena was this postseason. How he literally came out of nowhere and carried the Rays offense to the World Series.
So those are the Baseball Writers Association of America Awards finalists, and those will be announced here in the next couple of weeks. Excited to hear who the winners are for each of those awards. But moving on with our topics today, we are going to rank our top four free agents of the MLB offseason. There are quite a few big-name free agents. I don't think anyone's going to get a huge $300 million contract this year like they did last season and the season before. But there are a couple of big-name free agents that do deserve to be paid pretty highly. And so I'm going to start with my number four free agent, a guy that a lot of people have higher in their list, but I'm putting him at number four, JT Realmuto, the catcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. He hit .266 this year with 11 home runs and 32 RBIs. He's a two-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger, won a Gold Glove last season, the best catcher in baseball offensively, and I think that he will get paid pretty highly this year.
So my number four is I'm going to go with Trevor Bauer. I mean, the guy's going to win the Cy Young this year. One of the most loved characters, I guess, in baseball in terms of his ability, but he's proven to be one of the better pitchers in baseball, pitching for the Reds. And, starting pitching has proved to be more and more important as it comes on. So let me put Trevor Bauer at number four. And I'm only saying this because I've seen a lot that Bauer's looking for short-term contracts. And so I think for teams, they want, that long-term security. So, or it depends on the player, I guess. So, but it might make him more attractive to a lot higher in teams if he asks for short-term deals, I should say. Let me rephrase what I was thinking.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that he wants one-year contracts the rest of his career, which is an interesting way to go about it, but if that's what he wants to do, we'll see if he's actually able to find teams that are willing to do that. And so I have him on my list a little bit higher. I'll get to him in a few minutes. But number three on my list is DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees. He'll be a free agent this offseason. He batted .364 this year, led the American League in batting average, 10 home runs, 27 RBIs, an OPS of above 1,000, three-time All-Star, MVP finalist this year, a three-time Gold Glove. What's not to like about this guy? He's my number three free agent this offseason.
DJ's a little bit higher on my list for obvious reasons. But my number three is a guy who I didn't believe was a free agent this year. And granted, I don't think he's going to leave his team, but technically he's a free agent, and it's George Springer, the Houston Astros. I mean, this guy is one of the best young players in baseball still, and I think if this was, not during a pandemic, this guy is getting a 10-year contract for, in excess of $250 to $300 million. He's that good. So, Tennessee's market, especially with, the scandal that went on, I think it's not going to affect him because he's really good. And so if he hits the open market, one, that will surprise me, but we'll see what happens.
I feel like our lists are just the same players rearranged in a different order because my number two is George Springer. He batted .265 with 14 home runs, 32 RBIs this season. A three-time All-Star, finished in the top 10 of MVP voting last year. And regardless of what you think about the Astros sign-stealing scandal, he's won a World Series, and he's been there again in 2019. So he is a proven winner, and he's a very, very good player. I think he will get a big contract this offseason, hopefully what he deserves. Like we've said multiple times, we are in this weird pandemic stage of baseball where no one really knows what the finances look like. No one knows what the players will get paid, but George Springer is one guy that deserves to be paid very highly.
Yeah, I completely agree. And so my number two, and actually will shock you, I'm gonna go with DJ LeMahieu. And to me, he's the best hitter in baseball. And to me, he can't leave pinstripes. He is one of their most versatile defenders. Basically, can play at any position in the infield, whether it be first, third, short, or second. And dude can hit, and he's proven to be, a great leadoff hitter for the Yankees. And so I just – the machine. He's the machine, and he acts like it. I mean, the guy, no matter where he goes, he's going to hit, 300 – and knock in 100 RBIs and score 100-plus runs and be a great defender out there and be in the MVP conversation. That's so valuable. The only reason why I put him number two is because there's someone that's the best at their position in free agency at a position where you get a lot of different variables when it comes to it in terms of, the catching position. Hint, hint, wink, wink, who I'm putting at number one.
Well, my number one is Trevor Bauer, the guy that you put at number four. I think he is the best pitcher and best overall player available in free agency this offseason. A 5-4 record this year, 1.73 ERA, 100 strikeouts in 73 innings pitched. He's going to win the Cy Young. He said that he wants 1-year contract, so we'll see if he'll be able to get a 1-year deal. He was extended a qualifying offer by the Cincinnati Reds, which would be a 1-year, $19 million deal. Who knows what he's going to do? He's been on Twitter kind of trolling the fans of all the different teams as he tries to decide where he wants to go for the 2021 season. But Trevor Bauer is my number one free agent this offseason.
Yeah, if I'm the New York Yankees, and this, I think this is going to be very similar to what the Dodgers had this year with Dave Roberts, where it's like, if you don't get it done this year, you're gone with Aaron Boone. And if I'm Aaron Boone, one, I'm re-signing DJ LeMahieu, and two, if Trevor Bauer wants these one-year deals, I'm doing my best to be like, listen, 1 year, $20 million, come be a New York Yankee, and come win a World Series. Because if the Yankees get Trevor Bauer, I mean, that's what they need to compete with the Dodgers. So I'm looking. I know that's a bias. If I'm the Atlanta Braves, I'm very interested in Trevor Bauer, especially if he wants a one-year deal. You kind of go with this all-in mindset. If I'm the San Diego Padres and I'm going to have to play the Dodgers for a division, I'm going to look at Trevor Bauer. There are a lot of teams in this league that could use a starting pitcher to the capabilities, because you're really going to need two horses to beat, you know, the champs right now in the Los Angeles Dodgers, because that's how good their lineup is. My number one, I should say, is JT Realmuto, and I don't think he's the best player in this group. I'd say it's DJ LeMahieu, and obviously I'd value Trevor Bauer a little bit more. The reason I put him at number one is because he's the best player in his position, and second place is really not that close. It truly isn't. I mean, the guy has been the clear-cut best catcher in baseball for the last couple of years, and it's so hard to make that gap up where you're getting such value in signing him at that position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you there. He definitely is the best catcher in baseball, and there really isn't anyone close behind him at all. I mean, whichever team ends up getting him is going to be very happy and very lucky to have a catcher as good as he is. And so it'll be interesting. I'm excited to watch where he goes. I'm excited to watch where all of these players go. I hope we have an active offseason, free agency season. You know, I wish it was a little bit more like the NBA, and where as soon as free agency hits, players are signing with their teams, everyone knows where they're going, and it's just craziness for like 48 hours, and then it all settles down. All right, Trey, now that we've done our top four free agents, I want to hear your wildest, boldest pick or prediction for this offseason.
So, JT Realmuto, I don't think he's going to come back to the Philadelphia Phillies. And there is a hole at catcher. Aaron Nola, pretty good starting pitcher, would you say? There's a team in New York that has a good catcher, at least, you know, hitting-wise, and a loaded bullpen. If you're the Philadelphia Phillies, do you trade Aaron Nola for Gary Sanchez and a bullpen arm to the New York Yankees? Because clearly, Kyle Higashioka is going to have a role with the Yankees in their catching, and he's going to pitch with Gerrit Cole, and he proved an ability to hit, at least better than Gary Sanchez did. And so, do you take the risk? Get rid of one of your better starting pitchers.
Yeah.
That's my bold prediction.
I'd say they do it.
If you're the Yankees, you need a starting pitcher as a number two. You don't need a catcher, and you got plenty of bullpen arms. So.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good move. Bold pick. My prediction, I'm going to go with the Mets with their new billionaire owner, Steve Cohen. They flex their money and they go big this offseason. They get at least one of these top four free agents, maybe even two, and they make a big trade as well. They could trade for Chris Bryant or Francisco Lindor or one of those big trade names that are on the market this offseason. The Mets are going big.
Yeah, I've seen connections to, you know, a team that would be interested in maybe getting Francisco Lindor with the Yankees. You know, moving Gleyber Torres back to second because, you know, he struggled at short this year. And then, granted, Luke Voit at first has proven to be, you know, you can't get rid of that bat. So it would be interesting to see where Lindor ends up. I don't see the Cubs trading Chris Bryant, but I could definitely see Lindor getting traded.
What's your safe pick? Something that you feel absolutely sure is going to happen?
The Braves piss you off for whatever they do.
That is probably accurate. Mine was going to be that the Braves re-sign Marcelo Zuna, but, you know, knowing the Braves, they would probably find a way to screw that up.
I will also say, Charlie Morton, the Atlanta Braves, makes a whole lot of sense. If the Rays do not want to re-sign him, and Morton wants to stay close to Florida, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it does, and I would be very happy with that. All right, well, those were our top four free agents and a little bit of off-season predictions for you guys. Hopefully, we'll get into the hot stove season soon. The ball will get rolling. There have been a couple of news items here and there. Of course, the two manager hires and a bunch of player options have been declined, but that's not the good news that we want to hear. We want to hear the news about free agent contracts and trades and blockbuster trades going down. That's what we want to hear. Hopefully, that stuff will start coming soon. But Trey, this was fun. I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy the rest of your drive down to Lynchburg, and we'll do it again next week, hopefully with some more news.
Sounds good. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you subscribe on your respective podcast platform. Follow us at Foulball Area on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow me at Trey Lyle. You can follow Matt at Matkins21. Make sure you check us out. Let us know what you think about the pod. Leave us a review, and we'd love to hear your feedback.
For Trey Lyle, I'm Matthew Atkins. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.